talking about how Jesus calls us. And been reading this week in the book of John and was very impressed with a statement that John makes in verses 30 and 31 of chapter 20. Jesus did many signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. As I say, it's an amazing statement, and it occurs toward the close of John's book. And I have also been looking at the influence of Gnostic thought on the way that John presented the information that he presented. And much of Gnostic thought revolves around how we know what we know. Now, we're not going to talk about Gnosticism this morning as much as I would like to. It's something that we can talk about later, but this morning I just want to focus on what was going on when John concluded with this statement. So let's begin in John the 20th chapter. And we're going to begin reading in verse 19, and we'll read all the way down through the end of the chapter. I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible this morning. It says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Now, this is after Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. And he is now appearing to his disciples having been raised. And you can understand why the disciples would be afraid, because the Roman authorities had backed up the Jews and they had killed Jesus in the most brutal fashion. They'd crucified him. So the disciples have gathered in this upper room, but they locked the door. They wanted to be sure that the Romans couldn't get to them. Jesus appeared. When he said this, it says, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. The Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And then there's a story about Thomas. Thomas is one of the apostles. But when they got together, the time that Jesus appeared to them that we just read about, Thomas was gone. He missed out on this. So now the record switches to Thomas. One of the 12, he's called a twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, and again, this is not surprising, Thomas had been with them for all that time, Jesus' entire ministry. Jesus appeared, Thomas wasn't there, so the disciples couldn't wait to tell Thomas what they'd seen. They said, we've seen the Lord. But he, Thomas, said to them, unless I see his hands, in his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. Thomas was with them this time. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came, stood among them, and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. You see my hand. Put out your hand. Place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to them, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed. And then there's this conclusion. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. Jesus is calling us, all of us, every day, to a radical belief. It's not just an assent to the fact that Jesus is, but it's a belief like Thomas had. So let's think about Thomas for a minute. He's one of the chosen 12. He'd seen Jesus doing marvelous things. So many things that it would be hard to imagine that somebody wouldn't have believed in Jesus. Thomas wanted to be a follower in the worst possible way. And Thomas had this radical kind of belief that we're talking about, even though in John the 11th chapter, he was afraid that Jesus was going to be taken and be killed. Now, remember what's happened in John the 11th chapter. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. And when the leadership of the Pharisees saw that Jesus had done this, they decided, not that he was really the Son of God, they decided we have to kill him. Because if we don't kill him, people are going to follow him. And not only did they want to kill Jesus, they wanted to kill Lazarus because he was evidence of what Jesus had done. But Thomas had this radical belief, an absolute belief in God. He did not want Jesus to go down to Bethany because he was afraid he was going to be killed. But he said to his fellow disciples in John the 11th chapter at verse 16, let us go also that we may die with him. This is how convinced Thomas was of Jesus. This was the kind of belief that he had. But Thomas did say, I need more. What's going on here? I need more. Was he like the Pharisees? Mark the 8th chapter, verses 11 and 12. The Pharisees said, I need more. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to give it to you. Mark the 8th chapter, verse 11 beginning. This is from the English Standard Version. The Pharisees came, they began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed deeply in his spirit. And he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days, three nights in the belly of the great fish, just as Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the grave, Jesus says, I'm not going to give you a sign. They were testing Jesus. I think in the case of Thomas, this was real belief that was crying out for strength. And I've been there. Oh my goodness, I've been there. Mark the 9th chapter, passage that we're probably familiar with. There's a man who comes to Jesus, his son is demon possessed, and he says he wants Jesus to cast out the demon because he's already asked his disciples to cast him out and they couldn't. Well, this is the way it describes this man in Mark the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 17. Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. When it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." He answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." He brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed the boy. He fell to the ground, rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" He said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately, the child cried out. He said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." He needed strength. He believed, but he needed strength. Luke, the 17th chapter, at verse 5, Jesus castigates the apostles. All the things that they had seen, all the things that they believed. And Jesus says to them, "Oh, you little faith, you need strength." And 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, at verse 3. Now it's getting down to me. You know, I can read about that man with the child. I can read about the apostles. But when you come right down to it, this growing faith strength that I need, this is me. The Apostle Paul said that he was remembering before God and the Father their work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in Jesus Christ. I need strength just like everybody else. I need it today just like they did in the first century. I need it today just like the apostles did. So what am I supposed to learn from this? Well, the first thing that I think about when I think about the things that I can learn is that miracles, important as they are to what Jesus did while he was here, might not be the most important thing as far as creating faith is concerned. The Pharisees had seen, or at least they were aware of, what Jesus had done. I know that there were some Pharisees there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But the miracle that they witnessed did not convince them that Jesus was the Son of God. It did not create the radical faith that they needed. As I said before, John the 11th chapter, verse 45, beginning, they decided, based on Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, that it was now time to kill Jesus. No radical faith. You know, the fact is, miracles just don't guarantee that there's going to be faith. Luke, the 16th chapter, story that we've read many times. It's about two people that died, the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man found himself in torment. Lazarus, the poor beggar, found himself in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man lifted up his eyes, saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He said, "Father Abraham, let Lazarus come and dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame." Abraham said, "That can't happen. People that work to come from here to where you are can't." And then the rich man said something that I find really striking. He said, "Father Abraham, I have brothers that are still alive. They don't have this kind of belief. Let Lazarus go back and talk to them. I don't want them to come to where I am." And Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." The rich man said, "They need more. They would believe if one came back from the dead." And Abraham said, "They're not going to listen to Moses and the prophets. They wouldn't believe even if one came back from the dead." If Jesus himself walked through that door this morning, there would still be people who would disbelieve. Sometimes words are more important than miracles. Mark, Matthew, the 12th chapter, beginning at verse 38. One of the scribes and Pharisees, some of the scribes and Pharisees, answered him, and they said, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." He answered, he said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemned it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah." That's what it took to turn the men of Nineveh from their wickedness, so wicked that God said, "I'm going to destroy Nineveh in 3 days. It was enough to turn them back to God. But it was preaching. There's no indication that Jonah did any miracles at all while he was in Nineveh. As important as miracles seem to be, as important as the miracles that Jesus did were, it's just plain old preaching. He said, "The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Not to see Solomon do some great miracle, but to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Don't despair that you produce no signs. Don't despair that you can't cure. Don't think this world would be easily converted if we could but do miracles. It wouldn't be. Use your words. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, you put your hand in my side. You felt the nail holes in my hand. What about people who've never done that? You and me. What about us? I've never done that. But we're blessed. It is a radical faith that's built on words. Jesus is calling us to that radical faith. And we read it in our class this morning from the book of James. James says that we need to have work that corresponds to our faith. We need to be willing, like Thomas, to say, let's go with him down to Bethany. Let's prepare to die with him. So if you want to put on Jesus, if you want him to be your Lord, if you want him to be your master, then put him on in baptism. We can help you do that this morning. If you have left God, maybe it's because of weakness. But come back to God. He will give strength. Maybe that you're like the man who said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus is always there. And he's willing to help you.